Hi, everyone. It's Dr. Denise. This is the Dr. Denise Show, and this is the Embrace Your Neurostyle series. Today, I have Kirkpatrick Miller back with me, and we're going to be talking about pacing yourself. Kirk, thank you for coming back on the show.
It's my pleasure. I'm happy to be here.
So I want to do what I call a mindful pause and honor the moment of now, like really get vulnerable, you know, about where you're at today and also some insight into what you've been going through, what your community's been going through, and how you're getting through it and how you're pacing yourself at this time.
It's been, just as a recap for everyone who's listening, you know, I was in the big fire in Boulder County, so the Marshall Fire. And luckily, our house was spared. My sister's not so much. So, you know, currently we're all living together. We're very grateful just to even have a home. And there's a lot of individuals currently without a home, staying in a hotel. And a lot of the students I teach and work with are actually really struggling a little bit just because, of course, they're displaced. You know, they've lost a lot. And even those that didn't lose their entire home, you know, there's a lot of smoke damage. So as people go back to their house, a lot of people can't stay there permanently. So until it's cleaned, and some of the treasured items, of course, are damaged beyond repair. So there's a lot of, you know, sadness and heartache for the whole community.
I'm so sorry. I mean, it was actually, didn't it happen right at the cusp of bringing in the new year?
It did. So it's such a blur to me. It happened so fast. Just trying to, you know, when the evacuation order came, you know, we were trying to be really patient, and things moved so quickly that, you know, before we realized it, there was already, you know, flames. And so, you know, we had to grab what we could. And for myself, you know, it was interesting. I think we get a flash of what matters most to us when times like that come, because what I chose to keep and what I grabbed were like a couple notes from my nieces. You know, I didn't even grab clothing. I grabbed some music from my teacher that just is irreplaceable. And it was interesting to kind of see how we all responded. I've always been fairly good with emergencies. So for some reason, I'm always really calm in really dire situations, and I have absolutely no calmness with just general life, which is somewhat entertaining. So I'm great in a pinch, but on just a normal day, not quite as much.
So I want to actually just make note that as I'm listening to you, one, I have deep compassion. I'm, you know, almost like traveling back to that day. I remember watching everything on the news. I remember the day before the fires that you had shared on social media that you were having a lot of like unknown anxiety that was really intense. And I think sometimes our spidey senses, you know, can almost smell danger ahead of time. So I feel like knowing you and kind of how you understand your own awareness for yourself, like just now you were talking about your feelings, you're talking about the pulse of the community, the grief that people are experiencing, but then you personally realizing in that moment, you had the ability to kind of have that flight or fight, like great defense mechanism that helped you. But then you've been mentioning this last month has been just like so tiring and just so much trauma and so much grief for you, for all your students, and for all the people you know in the community. I mean, it's just a lot.
It's been intense. And just for me as an individual with, you know, obsessive compulsive disorder or OCD and generalized anxiety, those two things make it very difficult for changes in pattern. So my particular neurostyle likes consistency. I really enjoy having a, you know, a plan for the next week, the next day, and things like this you can't plan for, and you just have to make it work. So it has been extremely trying, and it takes a lot of energy each day to fight against kind of what your normal natural state would be. So a lot of times I feel like I'm kind of swimming upstream right now, mostly just because I'm trying to work, move forward with other projects. And at the same time, all of a sudden, you know, we have four dogs in one house, and I love my nieces and my sister. Having everybody together at the same time has been definitely a great challenge, but it's also shown all of us what we can overcome. You know, patience is something that is needed in situations like this. And so we've been trying to be extra patient with each other, you know, just so, and giving, of course, space. That's kind of tricky when we're all together all the time. And I think that's been true for a lot of people just with the pandemic. So, you know, giving people grace and being understanding and trying to see from their viewpoint. And then also remembering how lucky we are that, you know, there's a house standing and we can all be together and support each other through a difficult time. Those have been both a challenge and also inspiring at the same time. So, you know, we're very grateful and super happy to see the fact that we can get along under these, you know, circumstances, which are just so unique.
So I just heard a lot of pearls of wisdom, you know, in the concept and the spirit of pacing yourself. So we're talking about pacing yourself during an unimaginable tragedy, and then we'll switch over to also just day-to-day pacing ourselves. So what I'm hearing, some of the essentials that you just mentioned are being aware of your neurostyle and the way you process things and perceive things, using your voice, using your communication, communicating with others. And the second thing I saw you've been talking not only here, but also on your social media about patience and patience with yourself, patience with others. And then I love the idea of grace. You know, I think pausing and, you know, grace, gratitude, that mindful pause. Okay. I'm still alive. I have food, shelter, clothing. I don't know if you do this, but just when you're going through unimaginable times, you know, like let's say I have a patient crisis. I've had a lot this month and I've been recovering from bronchitis, but I just pace myself. And I don't know about you. I know, for me, I played soccer in high school and I always played sports and I lifeguard. And when you talked about discipline, I think about how do we pace ourselves in crisis? I think discipline, I think resiliency. And so for me, routine's really important, and also what I tell myself in my internal world. So I notice I've really appreciated this, like watching you pace yourself this month. And then I love that you can accept multiple feelings at once, that you can have loss and sadness for the community, but then you can have gratitude for everything you do have. And I think when we are pacing ourselves at unimaginable times, it's almost like we need to use every tool in the toolbox and then just be gentle on ourselves.
I absolutely agree. And, you know, being aware of how I work and how I kind of process the world around me definitely is an advantage. The better I understand how I work, I can adjust a little bit better to say, you know, feeling really, really anxious or frustrated. Patience is something that I have never had much of. And it's a skill I'm really trying to work on because time is such a huge issue for me. Always wanting to be, you know, at the completion of, you know, a 10-year project. If it's a long project, I always want it to be done. It's not that I don't understand objectively that they need time or that I need time. It's something that, you know, it just pulls at me constantly. So
is that more of your, can I ask you, is that your OCD neurostyle being aware of some of the perfectionism with schedules and scheduling? Is that part of your repertoire of how you understand the way you roll?
Absolutely. I definitely I'm obsessed with time. So if we get into OCD and the actual like definition, so the obsession, and then the compulsion, of course, is completion. So I love, it's hard for me to do even like to start certain projects like painting unless I know I have a huge block of time and I can do the whole thing, which is not an easy thing for me to do. And because not a lot of us have, you know, free days. Most of my days are taken up with something. And, you know, I have to work on top of trying to pursue some of the things I love. So I think that's one thing I struggle with is understanding, of course, I get where I'm coming from, the irrationality of how I feel under those circumstances and how fast I want to get somewhere is frustrating at times because I can look at it scientifically, step outside of myself, and I can see it's absurd. But at the same time, that doesn't change the reality for me. So at least the feel that I get. So although the reality is one thing, how it affects me and how it hits my my neurostyle, or if we want to get really scientific, like my sympathetic nervous system, my fight or flight instincts, those are still affected, even if I can rationally look at it and say there's no reason to panic. That is a really tricky dynamic.
I love that we're talking about this because last week you and I were going to record the show, but then we had to be adaptive. We had to realize we were having some tech snafus. We had to also just check in with ourselves. And I said to you, hey, would it be better next week? And we both kind of decided my voice was still healing. You were just emotionally feeling a bit spent, trying to work, trying to heal, trying to share your space with your family. So I think this awareness that you could have a physiological response and then have a rational response. It's like, this is about like really self-observing ourselves. So your ability to articulate this is fantastic. Let me ask you this. How has it been holding space for your students and their energy of unknown? How has it been? And can you let everyone know a little bit about what you teach and like what it's like when you're trying to have creative moments during a time of trauma and tragedy?
Absolutely. So I teach privately for violin, and I'm the head of our music institute that we started, and we have around 150 students that we see privately. So we see each one individually. We don't do group sessions. I usually get to work with students from the age of 5, usually through, you know, their high school, all the way till their graduation. And some of them even come back during the summers to have lessons, which I always love. So I really get to watch people grow up. It's definitely a tricky situation for all of them. I do notice that some do much better than others, especially in circumstances like this. The flexibility of young minds and how adaptable they are is astonishing. I often feel like the parents struggle more than the students. If you look at, say, the fire that just happened, you know, everyone's scattered, and sometimes it's the young ones that are keeping everybody calm and remaining calm, which is amazing. And I actually really admire that about a lot of my students. And
so I just want to make a comment that I think our kids ground us as to what's really important, because children, if they're getting that love from their parent, from their family, from their role model, from their teacher, and they know they have food, shelter, clothing, they know that they're doing school. You know, kids oftentimes, it depends on their neurostyle. I know that kids with sensory challenges going from their home and losing their home, losing everything, and kids without sensory challenges, there's still a huge loss. I have a family that I'm helping with that did have a fire in their home. I won't say too much, but I'm kind of, this happened last summer. And so I'm kind of walking through it. Like, it's almost like unbelievable that like I have this firsthand experience this year with helping people that have just lost something just like that. But children, like you said, I think are resilient. When I think, let me give some tips. Like, I've had to give this family tips when they lost their home. You know, they were rebuilding the home that they were staying in, like rebuilding the idea of safety. I think when you lose your home, you think, oh my God, I could have just died. And that was the very first thing that the children were like, oh my God, my mom and dad could have died. And so I had to walk them through, well, they're safe, they're okay. What's going right today? And then maybe gathering like new teddy bears, or depending on the age of the kids, or maybe it's their new favorite video game. So I think right now you guys are just in the rawness of like the whole event, but it takes time to heal and time to pace yourself. And I think you're making the point that children are often the ones that are the ones that help the adults, because you kind of need to show up for them, but then they also have this innocence and purity of just being more in the moment of now than most adults. So if they're getting their needs met and they're happy, and then you just keep having more happy and safe moments, that's what can get you through, and how you can pace yourself, not only through a tragedy, but even if you have emergencies throughout your day, that what's the next step? Can I have hope? What's the next step that I can do?
That's perfectly said. And as far as just having, you know, and working with young ones, a lot of times I run across somebody else that has some of the same struggles that I do, whether they're worried about time or being perfect on their tests or, you know, whatever the case might be. It's nice to be able to, first of all, not feel alone. And so, you know, you can kind of see a lot of different parts of yourself in all other people, right? But definitely young ones are very transparent. So I like that about them, because they, you know, they state what they want and how they feel, and it's much more open without a hidden agenda. So for me, it's been healing to have some, you know, and work with little ones, and even having my nieces around is very helpful. They have been through a, you know, a traumatic life over the past, you know, 5 or 6 years, because they lost their father, and then COVID, and you know, it just keeps coming, the fire. So you know, I'm consistently impressed with the ability for them to, you know, try to find the positive. And that's one thing that I really work on for myself and try to do for them too, is say, you know, listen, let's, when they're upset about, of course, their house and there's smoke damage on all their toys and stuff, we kind of circle back to, okay, well, listen, we have a place to go back to. We are lucky to be together. You know, we're all safe. And I think this is, you know, this world has suffered enough. We really need to be able to focus on the things that we do have and what we're grateful for right now. And that is something I have struggled with for my whole life, because I always am looking for what's coming. And I have not been very good about being in the moment. That's something I've been working really hard on for the last 3 to 4 years. And it's a big learning, it's a big learning curve. So if you can get a kind of grasp on it early on, I think it's extremely helpful. And of course, understanding yourself. If I knew more about myself, you know, 10 years ago, 20 years ago, I probably could have adapted sooner. So, but it's a learning process, even kind of looking at yourself and being reflective and open to seeing your flaws or your strengths.
Okay. So in the spirit of pacing ourselves, we wanted to, I appreciate everything you just said. Can you give, I'm going to do kind of wrap up with you, the tips and tools that you've used this month for, you've already touched on a lot of them, but let's wrap up some tips and tools for pacing yourself during this unimaginable loss and just in your community, what have you personally done knowing your neuro style?
So the main thing that I've tried to do is take each day one at a time, breaking down each day into smaller segments, or the whole month into smaller, you know, segments, which would be days, has been extremely helpful, because then I can kind of pinpoint what I need to get done. Being grateful for just being alive, what I have, the potential for a better future. So being positive, and realistically positive too.
So I actually think what you're talking about, really, it's not only with the fires, but it applies to people right now, as different people are, we're in the Omicron, kind of the tail end of the surge here in LA. But I think the pulse of consciousness for humanity, there's been so much loss, so much unknown, so much tragedy. So I had deep, deep compassion when your community was having another tragedy on top of the pandemic. And I love that you talked about the one day at a time, or I like to say the moments of now. So when we have that awareness, like even today, I checked in with you. We were going to try to do a shorter show, but let's make this, like, let's just take a couple more minutes. We'll do under 25, everyone. And the reason why I'm saying that is I'm just being kind of fun with time, because Kirk and I had talked about a shorter show, but I think we needed a little longer. So Kirk, do you think that we checked in with one another? You know, I think I want to model to people that Kirk and I checked in even today. Does it work to do a show today? So if there's things that you can kind of energetically show up for that you have to show up for, but then other things that you can put to another day, I think when you're pacing yourself, having that awareness is really important. So what do you think? Do you think we did a good job this month and like last week and today checking in with one of each other to do this or to not do this show?
I think we did a phenomenal job, and I love that point. That is one of my weak spots, is I don't really have the full concept of letting things go or saying no. I've really, you know, and this is something from my previous story where I'm still learning what it's like to, you know, have a mind that pushes constantly, but I don't have the, you know, manic peaks. So a lot of times, you know, the way I process things is I push too hard on everything, and I really don't know how to take time for myself and pace. And that's actually a really important tool for any person. And it's something that I've, that's another thing that I'm actually working on, just so that I don't take on too many projects, or when I do, you know, trying to break them up into manageable sizes. And I kind of have the mindset of, I need to get 6 million things done, so let's attack them all, which is challenging. And that actually adds to my anxiety, because there's no way to get every single thing done each day. So a lot of times I feel some paralysis just because I don't know how to pace. And so what you just said is really, you know, pinpoint, very helpful for just me in general. But I think anytime people are nice and kind, I also feel with you, it's when you're communicating, it's authentic. So a lot of times people say, oh, are you okay if we don't do this today, or is today a good day? And I can kind of feel a pull behind them that says, listen, we need to get it done. And with you, the words are what they are. So when you say, you know, is today a good day? If I had said, no, today's just not good, I already knew that was something you would understand and be supportive of. And so
first of all, I just want to acknowledge your words, and I want to make this a very big point of pearl of wisdom for everyone. When we show up in integrity, that's a term I've been using, in integrity, in our own self-awareness, self-love, and self-care. And we know our awareness is the best as we can, because we're always growing. And then we're communicating, whether it's with our boss, whether it's with a cohort, whether it's with a friend, a colleague, someone you're doing a project on. I find that I get more done when I'm in the moment of now and I have the reverence of pacing myself. And yesterday, Kathleen and I were supposed to do a show, and she left this eloquent message, Kathleen, on our On Staying Sane series, that said, I thought there was going to be peace in my house, but there's no peace this morning. And she explained a tech snafu. And so then I just did a quick show yesterday that was less than 6 minutes long called The Mindful Pivot. And I was sending her love and imagining the force with her, solving all the problems. And so I have found that the reason why I can be so creative and get so much more done is because I know how to use time in a different way that's not man-made time. It's time, it's the quantum understanding of the universe, where there's this unseen energy. And that when you pace yourself and you have awareness of your neurostyle and you're kind to yourself and you are doing the three things that were my mission statement for the year, were self-care is the new cool, deep play, and then there's an acronym for deep, which is divine, exquisite, ethereal, and peaceful. And then love all kind. And for me, that's beyond earth. I'm not just doing the earth game. I'm doing the universe game. I'm all sentient beings. I'm kind of over all the different divisiveness. I'm about love all kind in caps. And so I just want to say, Kirk, your tone of voice and the way you've handled everything that I've ever known in the time I've known you since I think we met in 2016, 17, I feel like you've had huge amounts of personal growth with self-love and with pacing yourself. So do you want to just tell people the other holistic tips you've done to get where you're at today?
Absolutely. And I do feel like I've made some pretty big leaps and bounds over the past few years. I think one of the most important things is just what you were mentioning before, the idea of time and, you know, being able to let things go and understand that, you know, there are priorities we have to get done. If you have a big project that's due for your work, you need to get that done because, of course, your livelihood depends on it. So I think, you know, being able to prioritize and learning how to do that has been helpful. One of the other things, too, I've tried very hard to not try to take everything on. And
perfect.
I think probably the most important thing that's helped me just recently and even in the last, like pretty much the last 6 months or so, is focusing on everything that's happening is correct for that moment.
Oh, so, I love it. I'm going to use a little profanity. I always like to say it's all divinely fucked up perfect.
It is.
And even us going to a little bit over, because I'm like, okay. And then can you also just give tips about your exercise? I was getting at your other two tips that I know that you do to pace yourself is allowing yourself your creativity through art and also your time with your fitness.
For me, being able to, I love going to lift. I liked it better when I was younger and I could lift heavier. Now I'm getting to the age where I don't want to, like, you know, punish my body. But part of the reason I like it is because I have to stay focused on each movement. And there's a consequence for not being focused on that. And so the whole world disappears. The stresses, the other things that are in my head, because I am lifting and I have to focus on just up, down, breathing, whatever the case might be.
Yay!
Yoga, great.
This is the perfect, this is it. Ready? Wait. How do you pace yourself? You have to be in the moment of now. It's key, everyone. You have to have self-love. You have to have awareness. You have to have patience. You just heard Kirk say that he does the best when he's lifting weights because it forces him to focus on his breath, his safety, and he gets his own deep, divine, exquisite, ethereal peace when you're doing fitness.
Absolutely. And
so that's key, honestly, everyone. Finding your own deep play, your own peace of mind when you're pacing yourself and knowing your neurostyle. So don't you think that's been the big aha moment?
that really has. I mean, that has kind of been there for a long time, but I didn't really understand why I liked it. And now that I do, it's something that actually has been really challenging with the pandemic because all the gyms were shut down. And so trying to work around that, I didn't realize how important it was. So even with things like that are so devastating, the pandemic, people being, you know, losing businesses and all that other stuff.
Yes.
There are opportunities for us to kind of figure out ourselves and how we work. So I think it's a constant yearning to be better, and then also being willing to learn and do my best to be adjustable.
And fantastic.
If I find a better way to do something or a better way to live my life, it's okay to go with the flow. That's something else that is not easy for me. But I do find it to be very valuable and helpful. It's just knowing that everything you're doing is right and just keep kind of plugging away. Never give up your dreams. Stay hopeful, stay positive, and look for the good in what you do have, because we all have a lot of great things in our life, even in the darkest of the moments that we feel.
So Kirk, thank you for all the tips and tools. I think we covered so much today, and you and I are going to be doing other shows. Can you tell everyone a little bit about where people can find you?
Absolutely. So I have a website. You can find me there. And that's going to be Chaos, the number 2, and then Cured. And I also just published a second edition of my memoir. I wanted to wait for 10 years, so I really knew that what I had done was real. So I just wrote a new epilogue and prologue and just put that out. Same thing. So Chaos and then the number 2, Cured. And I'm that also on social media, so Instagram and Twitter. And please feel free to reach out if anyone is struggling. I'm always there to help in what ways I can.
And Kirk's also doing some artwork that I've been really fortunate to have a piece. And you're doing some artwork in honor of raising some funds for your community. And I know that if people reached out to you, if there's other things that we can do to help your community or you in any way, meaning like the inspiration of the community, that you're also doing that. So thank you so much, Kirk. Is there anything else you wanted to say or anything we missed before we wrap up today?
I just really appreciate you, what you're doing, and I look forward to really exploring some of these topics and listening to more of your podcast as you go more in depth with all of these different issues. So thank you for having me. It's been a wonderful time.
Thank you, Kirk, and thank you so much for like teaching us like your thought process today. I made the decision to go a longer show because I was assessing your neuro style, the need to like explain it more precisely. And I just wanted to honor that. So then I made the choice in real time to do a longer show. So I really appreciate the eloquence of your words and the way you're embracing your neuro style. So thank you, Kirk.
Thank you. Have a wonderful day.
Thanks, everyone. Pace yourself. Be easy on yourself. Moments of now. Right, Kirk?
Absolutely.